This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Well, feel free to reach out to us. You can do it on Twitter at AMI Audio. Great way to keep up with what's coming up on any of the live shows, as well as to interact in case you have a particular question about something very much directed at AMI Audio. On Twitter at AMI Audio. Feedback at AMI.ca if you want to send a question to the marketing communications department. Maybe you want to know about AMI TV, AMI Tele, or AMI Audio. Feel free to do it that way. And that's feedback at AMI.ca. Or if you're checking out Connecting the Dots, you can find those guys there. We've got a presence over at Connecting the Dots. We'll share a little bit more about that later on in the program as well. Also, give us a call, 1-866-509-4545, 1-866-509-4545. Leave us a message. Give us permission to use your message on air. If we can, we shall. Otherwise, just mention what show it's for. Ramya Muthan, Kelly McDonald, we're the hosts of the show. Thanks for being with us on our Fridays. We swing open the gateway to your weekend. Let's begin things with our other co-producer for the program, Jeff Ryman, and talk lifestyle headlines.
From fashion to travel, pets, and more, we cover it all on the Lifestyle Report with me, Jeff Ryman.
Well, Ryman's been a very busy week on the program. Fedora's off to you guys for landing some great external guests for the program. And, of course, to our contributors for doing just a stand-up job of bringing climate action in any capacity as we get used to get closer to Youth Climate Action Day on the program.
Yeah, it's been fun to put together. And kudos to the whole team, you, Remya, Matt, for an awesome job so far this week. And I think I learned a lot over the last couple of days. And, you know, I think we generated some great discussion that maybe people didn't really think about when it comes to global warming or climate change or climate action or awareness. Awesome week so far, guys.
Okay, thank you. Where are we beginning, sir?
So I have a small article that I want to get to first, and then I want to get into a juicier article. Maybe, Remya, you'd like that word juicy. Juicy article.
Absolutely.
That Matt sent me, and it is really interesting, the second article. But the first one ties in a little bit as well. And obviously, this is having to do with climate change. And more specifically, here in Canada. So this comes from the Canadian Press. An annual look at global energy systems suggests Canadians are and will remain amongst the biggest consumers of energy over the next decade, even as policies ramp up to make the country more energy efficient. The International Energy Agency's World Energy Outlook, that's a mouthful, published Wednesday, shows Canadians used more than 300 gigajoules of energy per person last year, more than three times the world average and among the highest in the world. It takes about 25 gigajoules to power the average Canadian house over 12 months. But the total energy used per person includes all energy, including transportation, heating, and cooling. So the agency forecasts that as a result of these policies to make homes more efficient, remove fossil fuels from the power grid, and put more electric cars on the road, Canada's power demand will fall below 300 gigajoules per person by 2030. But that would still be amongst the highest energy use in the world, and still almost three times the world average. So the report says the whole world needs to be far more ambitious about curbing energy use and replacing fossil fuels if it has any hope for meeting the Paris Climate Agreement goal to prevent catastrophic and irreversible climate change. So I think we talked about this a little bit on the show on how Canada is up there with technically the worst countries.
Contributors.
Yeah. Which is not very good.
But let's not brag about that.
Exactly.
Just, you know, It's crazy. I mean,
and I think part of the problem that we've been accused of is the feet dragging, right? We make a big statement. Yeah, we should be doing all that. Yes, we all should. Canada, you're right. Yeah, well, let's get started. Yeah, when?
Yeah.
Canada,
it's almost like, it's like you have a broom in one hand and the rug in the other hand, and you're just sort of sweeping it under as we go. And I think, you know, really in the last, I'd say year or so, there's been a lot of news related to climate change, specifically here in Canada. And one of the things I was pleasantly surprised to hear a lot of, especially since we just had a federal election 1 month ago, was that a lot of those political leaders had climate change pretty much atop of their agenda when talking about and debating about these issues. So, you know, hopefully we start to get the ball rolling a little bit more than we have in the past. But yeah, still a lot of work to be done. And this is sort of where the segue happens in these two articles. And this next one is really, really interesting. And thanks again to Matt for sending me this. And I'll read you the title because it'll probably have you thinking as I'm reading this article. And it's called, "Here's What a Climate Scientist Really Thinks of Your Everyday Home Habits." So yes, things that we do on any given day that we may... I know, me too. I was scared when I was first reading this. I'm like, oh boy, here we go. But yeah, you probably don't even realize that you are contributing in a variety of ways. And, you know, you just might not know it. So globally, of course, we need to cut our carbon footprint in half by 2030 and reach net zero by 2050 to avoid the most adverse effects of climate change. Dr. Kolian, the director at the Center for Sustainable Systems at the University of Michigan, said in this article, and he said, "We're facing a climate crisis, and every household can play a big role in reducing greenhouse gas emissions." So this is what he had to say about the following. Using air conditioning and heaters. 2021 was the hottest summer on record in the United States, according to a couple of different sources. And climate change will contribute to colder, more intense winters as well. And because of this, heating and cooling will likely be on your mind more than ever. But this can also contribute to some pretty significant energy use. He says heating and air conditioning account for over 40% of the primary energy consumptions for homes on average in the United States. If you can, he recommends, finding ways to make your home more energy efficient, such as adding insulation to the attic and walls, installing smart thermostats, and replacing old appliances with Energy Star models. That is one way in which you can contribute to trying to cut back on this usage. So, Kels, I know you're probably thinking, oh boy, I have to go through another summer maybe with my air conditioner cranked. But
it's,
you know,
crazy,
it's so
because
true.
You know, we think how long would we have to do this stuff? And as we talk about the zero emissions and different things to make a difference, in theory, you know, we've heard all the time, we've got to conserve water. We've got certain parts of North America have water crises every year. They live with it almost 10 months out of 12, if not all year. And you think, wow, what if I do have to, you know, well, put more clothing on inside in the wintertime, you know, and cut back on the air conditioning so that we can start making that difference. And I think I used to find it fine if we're going to save energy. I just hated when you'd walk around Toronto and every restaurant had its front open, people and air conditioning blasting.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel the same way. And for me personally, I do have a smart thermostat. And in the summer, I try, not always successful, but I try to keep my air conditioner, you know, not pumping at to the full extent throughout the entire day. Easier said than done when it's like 50 degrees out. But even more in the winter now, I also have my thermostat set to a little bit cooler than I think the average person's house. So my heater doesn't click on every 2 minutes. So, you know, yeah. Like he said, like what Dr. Kolian said, you know, if you can get a smart thermostat, could make a world of difference, Rum.
Yeah, because it just makes you more conscious of what you're doing anyway, like what your habits are actually. Because, you know, how many of us, even realize what the AC is blasting at through the summer, and you're not even home half the time, right? It's just like instinct. Yeah, put on the AC so we can have the house cold when we come back. But it's not even benefiting you. And realistically, you're like I was reading somewhere that you're the closer that the AC temperature is or the heater temperature is to the actual outside, the less hard that your the air is working. Work.
Yeah.
Exactly. But we don't think about that kind of stuff because we don't talk about it.
Well, and we talk, Rum, in a situation living in an apartment building and how some people higher up say, oh, man, it gets so hot here because the heat rises. And so on. You start saying, well, geez, you know, how much could we keep heat in our individual places? Or is that a better thing in its own silly way that if Jeff doesn't need to put his heat on the 10th floor, because everyone below him is kind of heating him to where you get to where it's too hot. I think there's a positive and negative because you get upset and say, well, how much heat is escaping? Why are the guys downstairs on the bottom couple of floors cranking their heat because it's rising? So there's certain issues I think we have to address on design and everything. And a lot of newer places, of course, do that.
And plus localizing, right? Like maybe you want your bedroom cold when you're going to go to sleep, but that doesn't mean you got to crank up the whole central air, right?
So and a lot of places, unfortunately, you know, the temperature in your living room is going to be the same. And often, well, I want my bedroom this way. Well, why are you on top of the heater?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's another really good point here. Taking long, hot showers may be super relaxing, but they may keep you up at night if you're worried about how your choices impact the environment. The U.S. estimates that showering by Americans accounts for 17% of indoor water use. Dr. Kolian explained standard shower heads today use 2.5 gallons per minute. So a 10-minute shower would use roughly 25 gallons.
Whoa. Wow. And that's efficient ones, not like, you know, the ones a few years back that just gunned out like a fire hose. Well, if you're lucky.
I know. It depends on your shower and depends on your shower head. But the doctor also says if you can try to install a low flow shower head that emits 1.5 gallons per minute or less, could work wonders as well. But again,
we're so picky
taking long,
about
hot
it.
Showers is just something that I don't think a lot of people think
well,
about.
And people want to feel the water coming out. I think that's the thing out of everything. You want to feel like your body's getting massaged or whatever, or at least that you're getting cleaned and or at least rinsed off, because then you argue, well, if it's just trickling out, I spend more time in there trying to rinse my hair or whatever. So you do worry that, is that really so? Or am I still using that 2.5 because I'm staying there longer?
Yeah. Yeah. I wish we could talk about this a lot more, you know, with the showers and in the air conditioning. But there's a couple more on the list that I really want to get to, including the dishwasher. You know, it just seems like such a privilege to have a dishwasher nowadays. But as long as you use it in an eco-conscious way, a lot of water is wasted with people running their tap while rinsing and washing dishes. So Dr. Kolian says, if you can, and now this is a big can or if you can, it may be worth skipping the pre-rinse prior to loading them in the dishwasher and to only run the dishwasher when you have a full load. I know some dishwashers aren't very good. Mine's, it's okay. I usually do pre-rinse just because my dishwasher is not that great, but I only run it when it's fully loaded. I think that's obviously a huge thing. If you're running a dishwasher with two forks and a plate in it, probably not
brutal.
The most ideal situation.
Check
I know, right?
Your priorities.
So, yeah, same thing goes for washing machines as well. If you're running your washing machine for just a couple of shirts and some pants or something, maybe wait till you have a little bit of a larger load. But these are just some of the things that, you know, pop up and you might not even realize how much you could be harming the environment, you know, on these everyday things.
And these are things that we've heard for years. Energy waste was the old excuse, right? Before we started really talking about the environment, you know, it was the idea, you're wasting energy. How dare you? And now we need to look at it a different way of, well, it's not just the energy, it's the water. How much of it do we have to waste? Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah. See you guys.
We'll see you a little later on in the program. Jeff will return for Cut for Time, but that was Lifestyle Headlines, a couple of great pieces. We thank Matt, too, for that one article. Sorry we couldn't get through more of it, folks. A lot in there to think about. We're going to take a quick break. When we return on the program, it's time for our app update as John Wheeler joins us. He'll be visiting with us in just a moment. You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.